Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. It is a brighter morning. It's going to rain here in Florida, but with Moderna, we're pretty excited. We got a good opening here this morning, and we may have some hope for early resolution. So I think that's great for, at least it's great for my world. I hope it's great for your world. So what's on your mind this morning?
Well, I think, Rob, we would just like to progress forward with reviewing the some of the homework assignments that you sent out to us last week and the previous week. And just, you know, as we rotate here into, you know, the 10th, 11th, 12th week, make sure that we have a good template for going forward here in the supernova way, I guess.
Terrific. Music to my ears. This is, you know, this is what I spent about 3 years writing about in the Supernova Multiplier, is week 10, 11, and 12, 9, 10, 11, and 12, which is really growing your practice. Once you've built the supernova practice, how do you leverage it? How do you take advantage of it? What are the 7 strategies that we recommend using? And this all falls on the director of marketing, but it's everybody's challenge. And one of the keys to success is in this particular area is tracking and accountability. So you build your pipeline tool, and then you track it, and then you hold each other accountable to it. Not in a negative way at all, but just in a way of supporting each other and encouraging each other to use these strategies to grow your practice. So where are you on this, and what questions do you have?
Well, so I'll tell you what we don't have, as we don't really have a team tracking mechanism. You know, kind of like the whiteboard scenario that you bring up in your book. We don't have a physical version of that, and we don't even have a virtual version of that, which is something I guess in this environment we would go to, right? Some sort of working spreadsheet, but we don't have that.
David, Tim had everybody work on their target people, target assets.
Right. Did we just lose Scott?
Sorry. Phone call. Yeah.
Yes. So our branch manager has encouraged us to come up with he has a tracking mechanism that he wants us all to submit to him on a monthly basis. So it would be easy to aggregate those. And perhaps that's how we get started. You know, everybody sends, when you send it to Tim, that we post it to, you know, the shared drive or something, guys, in regards to what we're working on. So that would be an easy thing for us to do. But we haven't done it.
Yeah, the interesting thing, I coach all kinds of different people. And I was just talking to someone the other day about coaching MetLife people who are initially life insurance salesmen, annuity salesmen, who become financial advisors and then try to make the transition to managing money and getting fees for managing money. And you'd think, so there's the good and the bad with that. Right. They only end up getting about 10-20% of the assets of the clients, and they work with very large clients, but they're, quote, the insurance guy. We, on the other hand, are the investment guy, and we sort of give lip service to the insurance sale. So we kind of do some here and there, but we don't really embrace it as a core part of our business. Here's the big difference in terms of, you guys make more money. Okay. Net long term because you collect larger fees for longer periods of time and it's more consistent. They, though, have unbelievably good pipelines. They have a great pipeline system. They know exactly who's in the pipeline. They know exactly how much it's going to generate in terms of new revenues, and they monitor that pipeline like it's oxygen. And to me, if I could get you to do anything, well, think about it, right? What do we really have to do when we set a client up with a proper asset allocation? They've done a business, you've done a financial plan for them, you asset allocate, you call them monthly, you do your agenda, you do your executive summary. You don't have much to do, okay? I mean, it's set, right? I mean, make a change here or there, a little tweaking. You have plenty of time to build a pipeline system as robust as theirs. But to me, I think the success of our system creates this sense of complacency that we are fine. We don't need to prospect, and what we've got is good and we're set, you know? So we really minimize our talent and our abilities because we're set. And when you think about it, if you weren't set and you had to generate revenues from new clients in order to make your year, how your brain would change and your brain would be like theirs. And to me, it's like, wait a minute, we got this deal. You got the greatest business in the world. And yet we kind of go, yeah, I'm good. You know, I'm good with what I got. And compare that to these people, it's completely different ballgame. And you got to admire them. I do. I think they're fabulous. Do they know as much about investing as you guys know? Do they know? Are they SEMAs? No. But you know what? They're pretty terrific at sticking their neck out and calling people and pushing for new business. So yeah. To me, that's what these 4 weeks are about. And this is the mental gymnastics that you guys have to go through. It's like working out, right? I mean, you're either going to work out or you're not. I mean, it's kind of, and then you work out and then you have degrees of working out. Well, these guys are, you know, Olympic athletes when it comes to prospecting. And you guys should be there, because there's so many degrees of it. I mean, you go from, look, you're good when I put a $10 million client in front of you guys. You're going to close them. Okay. That's not the problem. The problem is getting them in front of you. And so it's activity, and that's what the game board is all about.
Rob, we've never really talked about this with you, but, one of the great big challenges that we have had for years, and it's a continual issue for us, and we're getting better, and certainly the Supernova concepts have helped us with this, is we are just extremely heavy as it relates to client relationships. I mean, we've got a million of them, right? So that exercise the first couple of weeks of cutting down to your top 100 and all of that, we couldn't get rid of accounts fast enough, and we got rid of hundreds and hundreds of accounts, but we had to like almost come up with a solution that was sort of almost a temporary solution because we couldn't get rid of 1,000 accounts at one shot. I mean, that's how heavy we were. So we came up with this sort of, basket off to the side. We sort of improvised and put these things over here that need to be addressed, but we're sort of backburnered as we tried to keep going with the top 100 and coming up with the solutions of figuring that sort of thing out. And then along the way, having a ton of brokerage relationships, right? That we really don't want long-term, but needed to have the time to try to convert those to fee-based business. And you say, of course you'd want to do that. Well, the time it takes to go through each and every one of those and come up with a formalized plan to execute or choose not to, it just takes time, right? So that it's that time, that currency, which has been the biggest challenge for us. Now we have made huge, huge strides with your help. Just sort of reformatting our brains in terms of how best to progress there. But it's still, I mean, even our high paying clients, you know, they still, it's not just spending 5 minutes to prepare for a meeting, you know, once a month. It just, they take a tremendous amount of our time as well as our CSA's times, and they could all nod heads here to see. I mean, we have, and this is good and bad, we have some very needy clients. Okay. They rely on us for a lot of stuff, which, it's also the reason they don't leave us, right? They rely on us for a lot of stuff.
But yeah, you're giving them a lot of value.
Right. And in many ways, you would say, if you looked at how much we collect for what we do, that we're undercharging. I'm sure we are versus some of our peers versus our value proposition, but that's okay. We're comfortable with that. But the challenge is then making time, and this has been probably our biggest challenge, is making time to thoughtfully continue to go through client acquisition in a thoughtful, programmatic way versus relying on that referral base, which that's how all of our new clients come in. It's entirely a referral based exercise, which is good. We just have to continue to figure out ways to improve that referral base and make sure that those referrals are good and there's more of them.
Right. You have a great practice. Okay. You have what I would say is a very high end top, you know, 10% of all financial advisors practices in the country. And they all look exactly like yours. You think, well, we're unique in that we've got a lot of accounts and we rely on our referrals. And you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a great practice. And the problem is that it will be the same 4 years from now.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to decide. Do we want it to be the same practice 4 or 5 years from now, or do we want to take control of our practice and literally leapfrog it to another level? It's a serious decision, and it's one that you really have to get together and think about. It's really kind of creating this concierge practice for high net worth clients. And it doesn't have to be ultra high net worth. It just has to be your world of high net worth, whatever that happens to be. You know, if it's 5 million, you know, it's not 50 million, maybe it's 5 million, but you control that market in your community and in your general metropolitan area. You're the guys they go to when they sell their business. And you can't do everything. Your problem is the same as everybody's problem that's good at what they do. Time. You're sucked by time because you're good and people want you and they refer to you. The problem is you're not discriminating enough. Okay? I mean, if you watch the golf this weekend, there was one thing that kept going through everything they were talking about. And that was Seminole. Seminole is a unique place for unique people, and you can't get in, okay? And it makes everybody want to get in, right? You want to join Seminole. You look at the course and you go, it's just like, it's nothing, right? I looked at the course and I'm like, I don't even think I want to play that course. But it's Seminole, right? It's like Augusta. Everybody wants to join if you're a golfer. And what you guys have to decide is, how do we create that same kind of cachet around our practice so people want to join. And we're wonderful to everybody. We're gracious to everybody. We refer them to other people that are going to take great care of them, but we can only take so many people. And therefore, we make our practice unique in the sense that it is for the people that can afford it and the people that fit go through our screen. And we allow to join our version of Seminole or our version of Augusta. Not to be rude or mean. You're simply doing it to create a special experience for a limited number of people. And that's the game. And you guys are right there. You're right there deciding that now. And you can, like I said, you can keep going and you'll do terrifically. You'll be, you know, 5 years from now, you'll still be doing great. You'll do a little more business. You know, you'll grow it, whatever, 5-10% a year. And then, you know, great. But if you want that 50% leap or that 100% leap, you got to, and then you can plateau again for a while.
Yeah.
But you got to do something different, right? You always do what you always done. You're always going to get what you always got.
Well, I'll tell you, for me personally, and we've talked about this as a group, it goes back to this time thing. The amount of time that I prepare for meetings is just significantly more than what seems to be outlined in the books about, you know, practice management. And it perhaps it's me, even if monthly calls, you know, it's just, there's more time that goes in from my perspective. And maybe it's just because I haven't systematized it enough or had the experience of going through it for a year with somebody, and it'll get smoother, but it just takes me a lot longer to prepare, for a meeting. You know, and it's all of them, you know, it's,
so,
I mean, I've got to allocate an hour or two to prepare for these meetings for me.
So the question becomes, is there any leverage that you can bring to that? You know, that's what you always look at. I just rewrote the workbook for managers on managing, you know, visualize now you're a manager and you have a 30 person office. Now they promote you and now you have a 110 person office. Then they promote you again and you've got three or four offices with a, you know, now you've got 200 FAs. Still just you. So what are you going to do? You got to bring leverage to it, right? You got to create you in a lot of different ways so that people feel as though you're still in touch, but other people are doing the work for you so that you can leverage your brain with multiple arms. So you create the model. And then you have other people implement it. And that's, you know, I had a manager ask me one time, he said, I'm absolutely up to my ears. I cannot take on any more responsibility, Rob. And I said, so if the national sales director calls me and says, I want you to take on four more states, I'm supposed to say no. And he said, oh no, you should take them. I said, yeah. And so should you. You just create people that do what you do. Maybe not quite as well as you do, but they do it very well. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you've got to give up some of that control. Either you have too many clients or you need to get somebody else to do a lot of the brain work for you to prepare for that call. And then you implement it. So there's always leverage that you can bring to these situations, but you got to be willing to spend the money and say, I'm going to hire a really smart person that can prepare for all my meetings and then hand it to me. It won't be as good as what I've done, but it'll be good. And if not, I'll get a new person to do it because there are smart people out there that want jobs. So, you know, at the same time, you limit the number of clients that you work with. So you should probably have... You should not have no more than 70 clients.
Yeah.
Each one of you.
Well, I mean, we're certainly not there. We're closer to the 100 mark. But And we've put together templates for a lot of things. And that's what you're talking about, coming up with templates for different meetings. And, I know we have not, all of us have, I certainly haven't, systematized it nearly as much as we should. We've done some good things, but we just got a lot more work to do.
Here's my review, right? I don't know if you can see it. Can you see it?
No.
No.
Okay.
I can see a hand.
Anyway, I got to get rid of my background because I can't show anything on this screen. But anyway, my monthly review that my team does for me is 2 pages, full pages. But you know what? How much of it is current? There's just some things that they got to plug in. And then.
Is that something you'd be, certainly not the data, but is that something you'd be willing to share?
Sure. Yeah.
I would love to see.
Yeah, it's filled
how they address it.
It's filled with data. And here's the review. You can't see that probably either.
No, I can only see one hand.
Can you see it now?
Yeah. I mean, I can't see what it says.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything.
See the boxes?
Yeah.
These are all my different money managers.
Okay.
All right. And so they fill in the boxes. So I've got the overall performance, my upside downside capture ratio for each one of my managers. And they do that every month for me. Now you think that's a lot, boy. Okay. Maybe you can see it now. This is the review. Okay. You can see the top of it anyway, maybe. And it's goals and tracking items, short-term goals. And there's 21 short-term goals. And then the other side, long-term goals, there's 2. Reduce mortgage debt and create $10 million family foundation. Retirement cash flow, prior month review recommendations. Review and recommendations. So we pretty much go to review and recommendations if we're in a hurry. Otherwise, we go through it item by item. Mm-hmm. And you think, you do that monthly? Yeah. Well, I pay a lot of money for that. Okay. And
right.
And that's, is it worth it? Yes. And if I give them a referral, it's going to be a $5 or $10 million or $20 million referral. So mm-hmm. that's fun, right? I mean, this is fun work. This is not boring work. This is good work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to me, I would give, you know, I give somebody else the responsibility for anything less than $1 million. And I'd take everything above that or maybe 2 million or 3 million, 5 million, because that's where the fun is. That's where your intellect needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I just, you know, look, you guys have been through segmentation, but here's the truth. Teams that go through Supernova once do okay. The teams that really do well are the teams that go through it all over again. I know that sounds crazy, but there's so much material and it takes so much effort just to do each piece of this that – you know, doing it twice sounds crazy, but people wait, you know, they'll wait 5 years and then they'll go through the whole thing again because they have 2 new team members. In reality, they need to go through it again almost immediately. So it's Supernova is doing a complete makeover of your practice. And you can't expect to do it all in even a year. It's too hard. It's very hard, but you got to kind of make up your mind. This is where we want to go and we're willing to give up something in order to get there. Cause you always give up something, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. You got to
go.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Steven. I'm sorry. I apologize for, I couldn't get on the Zoom, whatever. So I'm just dialing in.
Sure.
The stuff about all the managers, is that normal? I know you used to be on a team. Is that normal that you guys would show that information each month?
What do you mean? The boxes?
Upside, downside capture ratios and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's just because I'm a nut, right? I want to know if I'm paying money, how am I doing? I don't care, you know, what my actual return. I do care what my actual return is, but I want to know how I'm doing relative to other people. Now, I may not need to know that monthly, but I need to know it at least quarterly. So we may spend hardly any time on that performance. We'll spend a lot of time on everything else. Right? So.
Thank you.
Yeah. I do think people are really interested right now in hearing from you philosophically about a lot of different things. I've never had people more interested in hearing from me than I do now. I mean, they are hungry. So I think it's the best time I've ever seen to prospect. I've had neighbors and other people reach out and go, so what do you think? You know, what do you think's going on? Well, they never do that, right? They never do that. Well, they've had their world shaken and they don't know whether they're in the right place at the right time or anything. They're all kind of confused. So I just alert you to that.
What would be your one or two best ideas for going out proactively after that?
Well, I think this is a genius idea right here. Okay. This is the single most important change we've ever had in the financial services industry. I mean, when in the world could you ever sit at home and prospect like you can now? I mean, it's fabulous. I would be doing as many Zoom calls as I could with groups of people telling them what's the hell's going on. And they'll reach out to you after that and say, hey, I need to talk. Because this whole idea that the world has accelerated, we've gone maybe 4 years, we've compressed it into 2 or 3 months of change. So there's a whole world of change that's gone on. And if they're not part of it, they're like, what the heck? I'm missing a lot, you know. We've had a bull market inside a regular market. We've had a bull market inside a bear market. It's been a crazy time and people are interested. They want to know, is it time to buy value? Is it time to buy growth? Are the techs overdone? I got all this concentration. Is that okay? So you need to have a strong opinion on what is going on and what's the right strategies to take. You might be wrong, but you've got to have a strong opinion. And if you do, I think you're going to get a following. And I think you can do it by calling people and saying, hey, I want to put together a small group of like-minded people like yourself and do a conference call and talk about the economy and what's going on, because it is a new economy. It is a huge sea change that's happened, brought on by this coronavirus. Well, what do you mean? And then you tell them a little about it, and you say, hey, I bet you have a bunch of guys around you that you play golf with or friends or associates that would like to hear. And he goes, yeah, I can. I said, put together 4 or 5 of us, and we'll have a little conference call. He goes, okay, I'll do it. I've been doing this with my buddies. No one says no. And then they get on and they're like, thank you so much. This was so helpful. So I think it's a goldmine. I've never seen it like this. And you have the venue of Zoom, which is brilliant because you can see people and you can kind of, you know, sense their attitude about things. So that's what I would do. I think LinkedIn is great, but it's non-personal. It's a great way to create your brand and make you stand out when you figure, okay, so if I were one of you guys, I'd say, okay, so when they Google me, what do they get? What do you get when you Google me? Are you a leader? Are you top of the list in Google? Does your name come up because you published a lot of information and, you know, your algorithms are terrific? Or are you I Googled some people that hire me. I can't even find them. They work for big firms. I can't even find them. Okay. I cannot find them. And I'm like, okay. And I don't usually rant and rave about this stuff, but you asked. and I'm like, wait a minute, you're a public figure. And they go, well, I don't like to get on Facebook or LinkedIn or any of that stuff because I want to be private. And I said, well, go get a job as a, you know, working in a, you know, in a factory somewhere. You're a public figure, for God's sakes. You've got a brand. You need to be out there and you need to create a brand that people will look at and see that you've done something.
So you see people doing these types of format meetings, get togethers, just anything to get them out in front of people. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying anybody's doing it. I'm just telling you that's what I do. Because I'm doing it, and I will tell you, I've never seen people hungrier. These are people that never talk about the stock market. And they want to be on this call with me. Okay? They want to hear what I have to say. And they love it. I mean, and we've got one every Friday now. And I got more people wanting, I don't even ask people, and people are like, yeah, I'd like to be on that. They hear us talking, right? And they're like, yeah, I'd love that. Would you do that for me? I had a neighbor email me and say, he asked me the other day, what do you think? What do you think? And I go, this is what I think. All right. And he was like, wow. Then he emailed me a little more information about his portfolio. And then I emailed him back what I thought. And he would love to be on this call. I don't want him on my call. Right. But he would love to be on that call. So I think you can get your clients together and talk about stocks, talk about the economy, talk about the new economy, talk about the changes, what it means. You know, let's say we get a vaccine. Then how do you position your portfolio? Let's say we don't get a vaccine. How do you position your portfolio? I think people want to know. Municipal bonds, right? World's changing. Municipalities are in trouble. What's that mean for your municipal bond portfolio? This is a time when people need you desperately. And they won't bother when there's we've been through a 10-year bull market. Does anybody need you then? No. Does anybody want to talk to you? No. Now they want to talk. They want to learn and they want to listen.
Okay.
So I think it's a gold mine, guys. There's times when you can just prospect your brains out and get nowhere. And now is a time where I think you can do a little good targeted prospecting and go and have a ball doing it and really make some progress. So do it the way you want to do it. Do it with friends. Do it with associates. Do it with your professional centers of influence. No time in my life has been a mastermind group more perfect for we talk about creating a mastermind group. Nobody does it. Why? Because you have to, have dinner and take 2 hours or have lunch and take 2 hours and nobody wants to do that. But you do Zoom, you can do it in 40 minutes and have a great mastermind group, CPA, attorney, commercial realtor, residential realtor, business broker. Put those five people together or six people together in a Zoom conference call and you got a fabulous call. What's going right? What's going well? What's not going well? Give me a good idea. Give me a problem. That's what a mastermind group does every time. Give me a good idea. Give me a problem. And then we focus, if we have time, on one person's situation. Tell me about your situation in detail. What kind of help do you need? Okay. So those are, doing Zoom calls just with centers of influence. Instead of just calling them, do a Zoom call. Send them something. Talk about something that's important. So I think it's, you know, going back to our fundamentals of, you know, we need six centers of influence, a mastermind group, two good niches each. We want to be involved in a couple of boards. You want to use LinkedIn, and you want to ask your clients for introductions to people that are like them. The VIPSA process. Well, the Zoom situation, I think, is the best way to do that. Let's put together a group of four or five of us and talk about the economy. Talk about what's going on. So you pick the four or five. I'll provide the Zoom, and let's do it. You know, if everybody enjoys it, we can do it on a biweekly basis.
Okay.
Okay, all right. So that, I mean, those aren't painful things, right? And then get a pipeline. Get a pipeline tool. Cindy has a pipe. We have a pipeline tool you can use. It's just a spreadsheet. If you don't have a pipeline tool, you won't have the ability to follow up the way you should. You know, you get a person, you come in, and you go through the pipeline, right? From beginning to end, how long does it take us to close somebody? I mean, those are things you really should be working on. To know what your closure rate is, how fast it takes you to close people, and, you know, what's the quality of your pipeline, always upgrading your pipeline. It's a business.
Can you have her send us that pipeline tool? That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay. And then you just plug everybody into the pipeline, and then you consolidate. It's just a spreadsheet. It's just no more than an Excel spreadsheet with a little bit of snash. Just like our scheduling tool.
Great.
Okay.
Well, so, folks, does anybody have any additional questions or comments for Rob today?
No, good.
Anything?
Thank you.
Good. Is this what you needed?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Have a good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Have some fun with this, guys.
Yeah,
okay.
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.